Mizma Mem Hei. Okay, we're up to we ran through some of the Mefarshim. There is a spectacular Malbim here, but we didn't yet do the Rashis. There's a one piece of the Malbim that's spectacular, really spectacular. They're all spectacular, but this really, I don't know, for some reason it resonates with me. And we will touch upon it in a moment, but let's just maybe review some of the Pesukim, because I don't think we did the Rashis. We did the Rashi. Let's just review very quickly. I'm going to go back to page 400. I'm just going to read the Pesukim, not the Mitzudas. We did that to the Rashis, and then we'll go to the Malbim. They will tell you a very beautiful Vara I saw on this Pesukim. Page 400, Lanatseach, Al Shoshanim, Livnei Korach. So we already spent, means for the conductor. Al Shoshanim means a musical instrument called the Shoshan. It looked like a Shoshan. Maybe it had 13 something. I don't know. 13 keys.
A rose?
A Shoshan. Kish Shoshanim ben hachoychim. Kein rayosi ben habonois. Just like a flower amongst the thorns, so is my beloved amongst all the nations of the world. A shoshan, a flower. So this, most of the Mefarshim, this is a musical instrument, which was called a shoshan. And obviously this musical instrument was obviously ideal for the theme of this mizmar. Other Mefarshim learn shoshanim refers to the Sanhedrin, refers to the Talmidei Chacham. It is a metaphor. It is something which is exquisitely beautiful, and we're using it as a metaphor to describe, either as Rashi learns, Talmidei Chachamim, as Unkelis learns, the Sanhedrin, or as the Radak, the Malbim learns, Shlomo HaMelech, or as many of the other Mefarshim, the Mitzudos, refers to the Melech HaMashiach. It is a metaphor, Livnei Korach. We give this over to the children of Korach. This means that they are the composers, or it means that David is assigning descendants of Korach to sing this mizmer. If you're not a descendant of David, of Bnei Korach, then you may not participate in this particular orchestra. Okay, there's always a pool. Every you know, it's like in the Empire. When I went to Empire 100 years ago, so they showed us that they have sheikhtim. They're very, very large. They have a collection of sheikhtim, and they're certain, and they're all wonderful, wonderful people, and they're all yirei mushleimim. But no, they really are. What they showed us was very impressive. And then, but this plant, this facility, is used by many different groups. They use certain different groups. So someone asked, what's the difference between Satmar Shrita and Empire? So they said, there's no difference. It's exactly the same. Mm-hmm. Exactly. The only difference is that from the pool of Sheikhtim, for this, I don't even remember which Shrita it was, there's a Hakpada that the people who are the Sheikhtim, their wives, have to shave off their entire head. That's the only difference.
Just the hair.
That's the difference. Not even the sheikhet. It's the sheikhet's wife. It's the sheikhet's, can you imagine? It's the sheikhet's wife. Who checks? I don't know who checks. Really? That's the whole difference? The whole difference between, yep, that's the whole difference.
This just his rumor. I mean, he's not telling you.
No, I could tell you what gave rise to the Akash Bacha. Because they were mitzilas about a lot of things that were going on with the OU and Satmar Shchita. Many, I'm talking about like 30 years ago when this all began. And they said that basically there was the difference between the Hasidish Shchita and regular Shchita, I'm talking about Angasos. It was that the knife, they had to use a certain knife. And that not everybody did. The Shoykhid had to have a beard. Seriously, I'm being serious.
Okay.
And go to the mikveh every day.
Okay.
These were the rules.
Right.
But some of those other Shoykhid, like from Empire, did not.
Okay.
And that's what happened initially.
But
and then they were malshin. I know somebody who lost his ability to be a mashgiach because somebody said they saw his wife in Florida without a shaytel on. And he was complaining to me because he lost his job with the Hatchgacha agency because somebody said his wife wasn't covering her hair. And that he was, I mean, these are things
these are very...
The truth is, all the Shechitas are all the same.
All the same. It's all the same.
Because everybody's been, like, pushed into a corner in terms of how they give a Hatchgacha and, you know, the Shechit. So we would get, the like, with veal out on the West Coast, so we would get, I mean, over here and in Chicago and various other places, there were people who would say, that were very mocked, that would say, we'll take the meat from this particular shechita as long as the shechit is this particular guy. So we had to get in veal that was marked only with the tzedek from a particular shechit from this group. They accepted, if this guy did the shechita on my animal, I'll accept the meat from him. But we had to get it settled on different pieces of meat that said, I did this shechita. And they all say it. It tells you on the tag, the time of the day, Yom Gimel, 8:30 in the morning, so you knew when it was 72 hours were up exactly. And things like that, all these things you had to know. And it was
very specific.
So no. You need two agents. Not one.
Okay. We have another time. Okay, let's go further. Yeah, Shukriach, let's go further. I just wanted to point this out, Al Shoshanim, Levnei Korach, that there was a very large pool of people eligible to sing Shira. And for certain Mizmoirim, it's pretty clear from different things that we're learning that there were certain people that were selected. And one of the main approaches, when it says Levnei Korach, this whole Sefer Sheni of Tehillim, which is a very large collection of compositions that are called Levnei Korach, and we mentioned this last week, that's the very big debate. What does this mean? Does this mean that the Levnei Korach, they actually composed these words, and it was preserved for over 1,000 years? Or does it mean, no, David composed it, but David composed these Mizmor for the Beis HaMikdash. David built the foundation. It says that David built the foundation of the Beis HaMikdash. It doesn't just mean he built the physical foundation. He laid out the songs, the shirois v'sheshbochois of the Beis HaMikdash. What does it mean? Chazal, David, Hashem said, David, you will not build the Beis HaMikdash because you have blood on your hands. So David was very upset. So what did David do? Okay, at least I can do the fundraising. At least I can build the foundation. Part of Sefer Tehillim is the foundation. David prepared the songs that would be sung accompanying the bring of the korbanos. That's a chelik of building the foundation of the Beis HaMikdash. The Shiras v'Sheshbachas. And part of that, according to some of the commentaries, he's still telling you, this is going to be the Mizmar. I'm giving you the words. I'm telling you exactly which musical instrument you are to use. And don't mess with me. You're going to use for this mizmor the Shoshanim. And I'm telling you who will sing and play the music. It will be only blood descendants of Korach, Bnei Korach.
So and what that's, does it mean, Pshat Tefila L'Moshe, Yisrael?
That's another mizmor. One mizmor at a time.
does it apply
one day at a time.
Moshe also didn't.
That's a whole different story. Some say that Moshe composed. That's a big question. We discussed this. Does that mean that Moshe actually composed this and it was preserved? Maybe. Or it means that David made an assessment. David studied the personality. You know, personally, he read Rabbi Wein, the executive director emeritus of the OU. What's his name? How can I forget? Weinreb. Tzvi Hirsch, Weinreb, personalities on the parsha. David read the book and he made an assessment. Moshe Rabbeinu, if he would be here today, what would he say? Tefila l'Moshe. This is Moshe Rabbeinu. This is what Moshe Rabbeinu would have said. Many hundred perushim. One of many perushim. It's a fascinating pshat that David was a mumche in understanding people. And when you study Tanakh, and you study everything about a person, and I come to the conclusion that if Moshe Rabbeinu was here today, this is what he would say. Is that the pshat? Tila l'Moshe? Or does it mean, no, Moshe actually said these words. And it was preserved until the time of David, when David put it down in writing. There are many perushim. Honestly, over here it says Livnei Karach, because this, we've said this many times, of this section, Sefer Sheni, starting from Mizmor Membeis, going on, I don't remember until where. There are many of these Mizmor are Livnei Karach. What exactly does it mean? On a very simple, down-to-earth level, it means that there is an order being given by the composer that the only one that is allowed to sing this melody are blood descendants of Bnei Korach. Of course, I mean in the Beis HaMikdash. Outside the Beis HaMikdash, you can do whatever you want. We say in davening many things. But in the Beis HaMikdash, when they offer the Tamar Shel Shach, Tamar Shel Ben Arbayim, v'chulu v'chulu, when they brought different types of korbanos, it's been lost from us what exactly, what song they sang when they offered various korbanos. One of the biggest mysteries, and this is something which we once spoke about at length, and it's a very big mystery, everyone knows if you go to a good Nusach Sfarad Minyan, people that are very, very serious, they by mincha, they say korbanos. They say korbanos, they say the Tamid Shel Ben Harbayim, and they say the Ketores. But there's a very big mystery. Why don't, even if you don't even daven Nusach Ashkenaz, why don't we say Shira after mincha is over? Just like after we went daven Shachris, Hayoim, Yoim Rishon B'Shabbos Shebohoyu HaLevim Oimrim, B'Veis HaMikdash, L'David, Hashem Mizmor, just like we say Shira every single day after Shachris. So in the Beis HaMikdash, there was Shira that accompanied the Tamid Shel Ben Harbayim. So why don't we say Shira every single day by Mincha? You'll say, no way. It's hard enough to say Tachanun. You want to go and make the davening longer? Okay, so don't say it. But at least let it be in the Siddur. So I won't say, but at least let it be. How come it's not in the Siddur? A Shira. So one of the basic answers, I mean, the shocking answer we spend, is we don't know what they said. It's been lost from us. We don't know what Mizmor they said every day in the afternoon. Some of the Mefarshim say they said whatever they said by Shachris. The same Mizmor they sang in the morning, they sang in the afternoon. If that's correct,
yeah, that, but the Gemara Rosh Chodesh is possible like that because it says that they didn't know if the Eidim came or they didn't come, and they didn't know whether they
and Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah.
Okay, but let's say on a regular day where there's
they
no.
They said the morning.
Right, but let's say on a regular day when there's no problem, there's no issues. What song did the Levim sing to accompany the Tamid Shel Ben Harbayim? If you're going to tell me that it's the same thing that we said in the morning, then why is it not printed in the Siddur to say at Mincha the Shira, when you daven Mincha, it is equivalent to bringing the Tamid Shel Ben Harbayim? If you're bringing the Tamid Shel Ben Harbayim, why don't we say Shira? That's the halacha. If there are, it's printed in the Siddur to recite the Tamid Shel Ben Harbayim and to recite the Ketores, and maybe even the Menorah. I'm not sure. I don't know that. But why not? It's something so basic. So and if you're going to say it's the same thing they said in the morning, it should be in the afternoon as well. So there are many different answers to this question. And the truth is, all the question is better than all the answers. But one of the most fascinating answers is that we just don't know. We don't know. It's been lost from us. And some of our Shem go so far to say this is a shocking chiddush. We spoke about this by the Haftarah, that every single day they made a decision based upon current events what they should say. Shachris was standard. It was standardized. Hayoim yoim rishon b'shabbos shabo hoyu ha'levim oimrim ba'mikdash, or some different years, the Beis HaMikdash, which we're sitting use, it's standardized. What you say every single day by Shachris. Mincha, this, the Bezdin of the Beis HaMikdash, they read the news, current events, what is going on in the world? What is going on in Klal Yisrael? They probably went to Matzev, or Yeshiva World News, or they took out, I don't know, the Flappers Jewish Journal. What is going on in the world? And based upon current events, they made a decision, this is the appropriate Mizmor to sing today. So if they come to the conclusion that we're going to sing Mizmor Mem Hei today, because this is what is appropriate, okay, call in a special team. You just can't go take any person out there, anyone that's available, any Levi that's available to sing this. If we have decided that today it is appropriate to sing this mizmar, who's allowed to sing this mizmar? Livnei Koirach. You must have only descendants. You send out a text. We need today by Mincha, we're singing this mizmar, mizmar memhei. Therefore, only Bnei Koirach come forward to participate in singing this mizmar. Why Bnei Koirach? I don't know. David felt, for whatever, whether it's Kabbalistic reasons or whether it's they have some gene, or they can reach a certain note that other people can't do. Who knows? Whatever the reason is, only Livnei Koirach. And then we had this other idea, maskil. When
maybe,
you
maybe they composed it, or it was, but they don't have to sing it.
There were two parts of the shiur. There was the singing, and there was the musical instruments.
Maybe it was just composed by them.
Okay, that's what we said. That's what we said. There are many interpretations. Yeah. So what does it mean, Livnei Koirach? Does it mean that literally it was preserved over 1,000 years? That's a difficult. The historians are not happy with that. To say that when they were in Gehenim, they were in, the Mokum was in the Spatzer, there was a ridge that came out of the ground they stood on, and at that moment in time they were inspired, and they composed, and those words were preserved perfectly for, I don't do the math, how many years it was. Okay, listen, im kabolahi nikabel, but there are other mahalchim. Okay, whatever. This was last week. Maskil, we learned maskil means another fasting until we learn one of the first.
Very interesting. When my boys came home from Eretz Yisrael and they in yeshivas, they were all Ashkenaz yeshivas. They all came home and I saw they were saying Karbonis Bar Mitzvah.
Wow.
I said, what happened?
They said they frimmed out.
You know, they said in yeshiva, that's what they do.
They frimmed out.
Yeshiva, but they said Karbonis Bar Mitzvah. And he learned that's, and they still do it. I mean, I have a friend,
he has a son, he's like now like, I don't know, like a teenager. He was a very wild man. Now he greased out, he's spooking out his parents like crazy. He is like a soldier like you've never seen, a masmid, like unreal. His parents are totally spooked out. I told him, listen, check your mizuzahs. The old joke, right? Okay, so Baruch Hashem, they're very proud, they're extremely proud. Okay, so here we go. So Lamasech al Hasharim Livnei Koirach Maskil. What does it mean, Maskil? Livnei Maskil. The incredible pshat is that when you sing this mizmar, you have to. I demand, David says, you put up a miturgamon. Someone must translate. The reason why I'm repeating this vart is because of something that I saw yesterday, which we'll mention in a moment. There's some foreshadowing for what's coming up in a moment. We learned which one of the Mefarshim said this. I'm not sure I have it over here. One of the commentators says something that is utterly incredible. Maskil here simply means that this is a composition of wisdom. Others say, no, maskil, make sure every living creature that hears this mizmor when it's sung should understand the content. Therefore, see to it that a miturgamon is put in position when this mizmor is recited. Which one of the commentators said this idea? We'll give a quick look. Maskil. Let's see. No, I don't see it here. Is it maybe the Malbum? No, I doubt the Malbum would say this. It has to be one of the smaller Mefarshim over here. It's somewhere on the page over here. Maskil. This is a Sapurno.
It's interesting, we're on Beyond Select.
Has to be, so I definitely saw it on this page somewhere. Maskil means put up a miturgamon. Hopefully we'll come across it soon again. Put up a miturgamon when now there's a reason why I'm saying this, because again we'll see in one moment next. Shir Yedidois, a song of love. Kerochash libi dovar toiv, my heart is emotional. My heart is emotional with something that is very good. A good dovar. Dovar sometimes means speech. Dovar means like a dibur. A dovar toiv. David over here is saying that I'm inspired. I have, or the Bnei Koirach saying, a dovar toiv our lips, it just, it's like Ruach HaKodesh, just come to our lips, words of that are good. Oimer oni, and I make the following statement, I hereby declare. Oimer oni, Oimer oni is like in English, I hereby declare the following statement. Ma'asai lemelech, my composition, my creation is lemelech, in honor of the melech, either Melech HaMashiach, or it's Shlomo HaMelech, or Vashuta Hashem. Lishoni, my tongue is eight sofer mohir. My tongue is a quill of a brilliant scribe. A sofer mohir, a brilliant scribe. We have a principle of Rav Chanina Mendoza. I want to talk about this later. Chanina Mendoza, when he would daven, when someone would come to Chanina Mendoza and ask him, please pray for my relative, pray for my father, my son, pray for me. And Rav Chanina would say, okay, let me pray. And he would daven, and he would then say to the person, you will live. Or sometimes he would say, sorry, buddy, it's not going. You're in a lot of trouble. I once saw where a certain person went to Rav Chaim Kanievsky. This is very shocking. And they asked Rav Chaim Kanievsky for a bracha. And he didn't give a bracha. He didn't want to give a bracha. And his gabbai was screaming, and he was hard of hearing. He says, Rebbe, 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 I don't know how to say English, give a bracha. they would push him around like a sack of potatoes. Rebbe, do this, this guy, this person. Rebbe. He didn't say a word. Rebbe, Rebbe, give a bracha. He's like the gabbai, the gabbai who brings him in with the text. Rebbe. Quiet. And the guy was like spooked out. Rebbe. And after three times, the gabbai driving him crazy, he didn't give him a bracha. He basically told him what to do. This guy, he never saw him before. How come the guy before, boo, 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 and this guy, shtoik, my high, Ruach HaKodesh, Mosad Ruach HaKodesh. He told him what he told him to learn a certain thing. He told him to learn. Very interesting. It's very, very interesting. So over here, so what did Chaim Ben Dois say? If I daven for you,
he said, some of the weeds possible follow-up, I'm not going to give a bracha.
And how did he know? He saw Ruach HaKodesh. Spooky, very, very spooky. So Rabbi Chanina Ben Doisa said, if tefilasi shagura b'fiv, if my tefillah is fluent, it comes out, I know it's good. I feel it being accepted. If chas v'shom, I don't feel that fluency, I know there is something wrong, it's being denied. So here you can still see the same thing over here, I know what I'm saying here is good, because it's just coming out like a fire hydrant. Lishoni, my tongue, is an eight soifer mohir. My tongue, the words are just coming to me. It's like a rabbi, Mayevsky, okay? Sometimes, you gotta admit, you go to the pulpit and sometimes it just goes. And sometimes, is it true? It doesn't go. There's some type of friction. There's a certain koyach of the tzibur. There's a mitzias of siyata deshmaya, and there is just, an eis ratzon. There are different circumstances. This expression, what is he saying this over here? He's saying, ma'asai lemelech. Okay, that itself is very also.
What the Mepharshim say, I'm told them, when Yitzchak gave the bracha, the reason he gave the bracha was all his misgivings about whether it was Yaakov or Esau.
It flew.
The words kept coming out. God was putting words in
his mouth. Exactly.
So he figured, listen, there must be.
Gam boruch yeh. Excellent. Gam boruch, if the words just came out, the words are just fluent. Like sometimes, sometimes you get up to say the drasha, you didn't even realize that. All of a sudden, things are put into your mouth. Things that you never thought of, just somehow it just goes. It goes. This is siyata d'shmaya. Vayipach biapov nishmas chayim. Vayihi ha'adam lenefesh chaya l'ruach memalala. This mitzias of a Kodesh Baruch Hu blowing breath into the nostrils of man and words come out, happens every single day. When you go to Gedolei Yisrael, Talmidei Chachamim, you ask them Eitzos, and you have emunah, faith in them, you have emunah, it goes. ask these inspirational public speakers. They you know, you can say this Shabbos I was somewhere, and there were certain inspirational speakers. I'm telling you, I heard the stories 100 times. I heard these stories already 100 times. Yet the way they said it, it made a very big roshim on me. There's a certain way of saying it, and I don't think it's the way. It's a certain the audience, the situation, the sviva. There's a koyach of vayipach ba'apov nishmas chayim vayihirdam l'nefesh chaya l'ruach memalala. There's a koyach asiyad shmaya. Here I'm trying to suggest that's exactly what it means over here. L'shoyni, my tongue, eight sofer, is like the quill of a scribe, brilliant scribe. I'm telling you now, what I'm telling you now is gold. You know why? It's because I'm like a Chanina ben Doisa. Shigura tefilasi b'fi. My prayer is fluent. And if it's fluent, this means it's good. It's real. It's authentic. It's acceptable by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now he says, this is the reason why I tell you, here's yofisa b'mei Adam. You are the most beautiful, exquisitely beautiful of mankind. Who are we referring to? Referring, like we said, either the five perushim, either referring to the Sanhedrin, referring to Melech HaMashiach, referring to Shlomo HaMelech when he got married, referring to Talmidei Chachamim, or the Torah, all the different perushim. You are exquisitely beautiful, Mibnei Adam, more so than any other man. Hutzak chein b'sif soisecha, there is chein that is poured out in your lips. Al kein, therefore, bei rachachoy elokim lo'olam. Therefore, you are blessed. Now, the alkane is a little bit difficult. I don't know what it means over here. Alkane. Therefore, Beirachecha Elokim Liolam, Hashem has blessed you forever. What does that mean exactly in this context? I really don't know. It's very hard to really get a grasp. What's the alkane? Just say, because you are exquisitely beautiful, more so than any other man, and chain has been poured in your lips, and you are blessed. Hashem has blessed you forever. What's the alkane? I do not know what the alkane here is. I really don't know. Therefore, uvechein, and the other one, uvechein. Therefore, okay. Therefore, it is a revelation that the fact that you are so beloved, you are so beautiful, and there is chein in your lips. It's a revelation that Kadosh Baruch Hu indeed has blessed you forever. Otherwise, Hashem will not give you the gift. This gift of the Koyach HaDibur and Chain is a divine gift. Yosef was Mole Chain. It is a divine gift. It is a revelation that Kadosh Baruch Hu has shown you favor forever. Pasuk Dalet, Chagor Charbucha Al Yorech, Gibor, gird your sword on your thigh, you mighty man. Hoidcha, your sword is your splendor. Vahadorecha, two words, good for Chanukah. Hoid v'hodar. Okay, we'll stop with this. Now, Rashi. Before we even do Rashi, I want to right away do a Likutei Shas. We'll come back to the Rashi in a moment. Let's look at the Likutei Shas, because I'll tell you why I'm breaking tradition, and I'm going to do the Likutei Shas before you do Rashi. Because when you learn Chumash, what are you supposed to do before you do the Rashi? You're supposed to learn the Unkelus. Unkelus, right? Unkelus. Unkelus is the real pshat. So look at the Likut on page 3, on 403. 403, on the very bottom, Likut Eshas Midrash HaTanoim, Yofisa Mibnei Adam, Rabbi Yirmiya, the first one, on the very bottom, Rabbi Yirmiya, Amar B'Shem Rabbi Chia, Bar Bo. Okay, this is, you know, this is Yushalmi language. Yushalmi became very popular. Someone over here told me, you know, I've gone through Shas already a few times. So now I want to do something different. So now I'm going to learn Yerushalmi. I was like, my eyes were popping out. Like, I think you should learn, you know, Bavli so well. In any event, now Yerushalmi is popular. It's so popular, Rabbi, so I can't even get up. Even Dirshu, they're giving exams on Dafyomi Yerushalmi. You want to take the exams, learn a daf Yerushalmi every day, and take an exam once a month? Isn't that amazing? We're living now in a generation where they're even having dirshu exams on Yerushalmi. It's not enough now when you know in the shidduch. Yeah, he knows Bavli. Does he know Yerushalmi?
That's why I told you, are your son.
Yeah.
Cohen said it the way, got up to speak over the foot, but he says he feels comfortable to say that he's a Bavli in
Bavli and Yerushalmi. It's a genius. Ari Victor's son? 13-year-old boy? A 13-year-old boy?
No, no.
Oh, the wedding.
He's 20, 21.
The genius. Unbelievable. Victor. Arya Victor. Arya himself is a genius. He's a genius. A brilliant head. Okay, Yafisa Nuri Adam. So over here, looks over here in the Lukut Shas, Rabbi Yimmy Omar Beshem Rabbi Chia Bar Barbo. Tear game Akilos Hager. Who is Akilos Hager? Page 403, Akilos Hager. Who is Akilos Hager? Uncleus. Uncleus. In the Yerushalmi, the spelling and the names, the pronunciation, that's what makes Yerushalmi a little bit more... What? Yeah, Akilos.
Instead of Uncleus?
Yeah.
Are you sure that they're one
in
the same person?
I assume so. Wait, I can't hear anything. You did not get the impression they're the same? They're different people?
In my past learning, I assumed they were different people. I never heard the contrary.
I don't know. Okay, then I take it back. I thought that it's a given because there are so many names in the Yerushalmi. There are so many names in the Yerushalmi that are spelled a little bit differently and pronounced. So, okay, you're saying that they may not be the same person. It could be. We do know that Uncleus was a ger. And over here, the syllables, the phonetic sound of Akilos and Uncleus are very, very similar. Ayin and Aleph, Nu. And Akilos, I don't know, maybe you're right. I don't know. We have to investigate this. Hager, he tear game, he translated Hager, a Torah lefnei Rabbi Eliezer, lefnei Rabbi Yoshua. The Kilusoy soy, and they praised him, Yomer and they alone, and they said to him this pasuk. They said, Yofisa mibnei Adam. Uncleus, you, Uncleus Hager, or Akilos Hager, you a mitargame the entire Torah, you are the most beautiful of mankind. Beauty here, you see, is being used, according to this Maamar Chazal, in the context of knowledge, but not a very specific type of knowledge. The knowledge of translating, of being targum the Torah. Targum is a very common, what exactly is targum? We have the schus, we learn over here every day in the afternoon at 7:15, we learn we have a shir on targum from COVID. It started with COVID, we still, Baruch Hashem, still going to some degree because of a blazer and mayor, keep it going. And we learn targum, and it's just a fascinating, fascinating limud of what is that stuff all about on the and you know what exactly is targum. Every time we learn another targum, there's svarim that delve into it. May they put out, that's what they did in honor of Rabbi Zlotowitz, Meir Zlotowitz, modern Meir Zlotowitz. Isn't that amazing? Could there be a more fitting project to honor Rabbi Meir Zlotowitz than an elucidation of the targum? He elucidated Kol HaTorah Kula. His art school elucidated Kol HaTorah Kula. Could it be a more fitting thing to go back to the first elucidator? Who was the first elucidator in the world? Uncleus. And here they had a project. They finished the project a long time ago. Five volumes of elucidating Targum Uncleus, you know, in a very unique, precise way, in his honor. So Uncleus Hager was Metargim the entire Torah, or Akilos, if they're not the same person, and the Chachamim apply to him this pasuk. Yofisa. What? It's a play on the word. Ooh, you're saying very, very good. Look what he's saying over here. It says over here the word Akilos. Here, remember Michal, what he's saying over here of Kalman? He's saying something that is really brilliant. Okay, we have a whole shiur over here. We have a hakdam. We see Mark. Yeah, we have a whole hakdam here for the art scholar, for the second edition of Uncleus, Akilos and Akilos and Vikilusu are phonetically similar. So maybe they're playing with his name to express that the shorish of his name, he deserves praise. And what is the gresta shevach you can say about him, about a person that elucidated the Torah? You can say about him that he's the most beautiful, yoifi. Yoifi is ordinarily is used in reference to a kala. Why is a kala called beautiful? Kala noheva chasuda. So I'll tell you a pshat, which is maybe it's maybe not such a good pshat because it makes it sound like men are better than women, but I don't mean like that, because a kala brings out the best. She elucidates the koichos hanefesh of her husband. Kale nova chasuda. Okay, when a man gets married, he has a wife. The wife is beautiful. What does it mean she's beautiful? What is beauty? Exactly. What is beauty? Well, where do you find the makor in Tanakh, in the Bible, of the tefataych beauty? Beauty, Chazal ascribed the spitz of yoifi. This word over here, it's a repetition of the syllables yof yofisa, which means beauty upon beauty, not just yoifi, but it's a repetition of the word, like adamdam and yirakrak, to emphasize the pinnacle of beauty. And this bracha of yoifi was given to a man, not a woman, who did what? Elucidated the Torah. He took the Torah, which is a davar sasam, Torah shebichsav, elucidated it. He broke it open to bring out, to understand the depth of what it really means. So a woman, a kala nova chasuda, the yoifi of a kala, why is she beautiful? A kala is not to herself, she's an eshes ish. She is the tool, or she, I don't mean to say words which chas v'shalom put down, make any gender discrimination over chas v'shalom, but in one dimension, an isha brings out the yoifi, brings out the potential. She elucidates her husband. Husband is a closed book. Men are very strange. They're closed books. You read a pasuk in the Chumash, Bereshis Bara Elokim Es Hashamayim Ves Haaretz. What does it mean? You need the Targum. The Targum opens up. Ah, now I understand what this pasuk means. The pasuk, this man is no longer a danger to society. We know how to deal with him. We know what makes him tick. This is how Yifatayit Yisrael. Come over saying that's the Shorish of Kim. They praised him. And the praise they gave was this pasuk. Now, with that idea in mind, now we can understand why.
A quick search tells me there is a debate about whether they are
one of the same. What are the sources to this?
I don't know what the source is. I'm just telling you.
There you go. The place to look is...
One is in Aramaic, that's Achilles, and one is in Greek, that's Achilles.
Aha. Okay, well, probably a good place to look is in the Hakdama to the Art Scroll. The Art Scroll, Bereshis, of... Uncle, I'm sure maybe they'll talk about it over there. Now, why is this important? Because now we go back to the beginning of the Mizmor. Not many Mizmor have the word maskil. Maskil. This Mizmor, I demand, should be translated. Does anyone even know where it says it? I saw that. I can't believe I don't. Maskil means a miturgamon. I want you, the word maskil here means to designate a miturgamon.
Rashi
says it? Where? Oh, look at that. Right in front of my eyes. Open, plain sight. Maskil al yidei torgimon. Since when does you have how many Mizmorim have the word maskil? And Rashi comments, al yidei torgimon. Now we have an appreciation. Why al yidei torgimon? Because if this pasuk of yofisa mibnei adam was applied, was used to give praise to the ultimate miturgimon, Achilos, Hager, Shetirgem, Eskolator Lefnei Vachachamim, and he was praised. He did an excellent job. If that's the theme of this Mizmor, then isn't it fitting that when the Mizmor is recited, it should be translated?
Yeah? Beautiful language, the Aramaic and the Greek.
Greek, that's what he said.
Yes, so maybe
Different people. Well, maybe it was the same person and he did both. Okay, I hear. Right, okay. So whoever it is, whether it's Unkelitz, whether it's Achilles, it doesn't matter because over here he was his translation, whether it was Greek, whether it was Aramaic, it was accepted by the Chachamim and they praised him and they applied to him the Pasuk, Yof Yofisan Mibnei Adam. Now we can appreciate why that this mizmor, when it was sung, Rashi says, Al Yidei Miturgamon. It's not enough to say the mizmor, there must be a translator. The greatest shevach you can give a person is to quote them. So I remember many years ago, I didn't go to the, I heard about this, they had a dinner, Rabbi Shur, Rabbi Avraham Shur, he has a shul, and they had, every year they have a Malava Malka. So every year they have a guest speaker. So one year they invited to be the guest speaker, Rabbi Eitan Feiner, from far Rockaway, from the White Shul, Rabbi Eitan Feiner. Everyone knows Eitan Feiner is a genius. Genius of geniuses. And he was the guest speaker. So what did he do? He totally blew the minds of the people there. You know what he did? He went and he read all of Rabbi Shur's Svarim, and he gave a whole drasha, and every other second, and Rabbi Shur says in this volume this, and he says he made a whole drasha, and all the Marim Mekoymos of the drasha. He'll tell you right. He'll tell you. And Rabbi Shur on page Halekech Halev on this page says this, and he says this, and we can bring a kasha, but we can give an answer from Lech Halev from Rabbi Shur's own words here. He made a whole pilpul on the chidushim of the rabbi himself. Could you imagine that? When did you ever see something like that? Can you imagine if Shavshon Yefal Hirsch would be alive and have dinner and Malava Malka, and someone get up and give a whole drasha just quoting everything that Shamshon Yefal Hirsch ever said and interweaving it into a drasha? That's what he did for Rabbi Shur. Isn't that amazing? That's the biggest cover you can give a person. That's the biggest cover you can give a person, where you go and you take his own work, and you present it. Here,
another
hint.
It says,
Yaft Elohim Yefet. Oh, it's also Yaf Yafisa.
It's Greek.
It's Greek. Yeah, Yefet is Greek. Yeah. So you want to say that's why Achilles was Greek, translated into Greek. Okay, but Chazal are not very happy when the Torah was translated into Greek. There was darkness, 3 days of Cheshach. The 8th, 9th, and 10th day of Teves were 3 days. There's a tainus. On the 8th day of Teves.
He did it on his own.
Right, it was way before. This was way, way before. We're going back to a different era, a different time. All right, now let's go just one thing further. In the beginning of Parashas Korach, the Rashi begins and says something very interesting, which doesn't say anywhere else. Parasha zu yofa nidreshes. All the Farshim, what in the world is going on? Why did Rashi say Parasha zu yofa nidreshes? And they have all these.
That means it's a field day for.
Oh, that's the Pashup shot. Yeah, but what does it mean, yofa? What is the translation of the word yofi, beauty? Here we have an incredible insight. In the middle of the film, yofi, it doesn't just mean physical beauty. It doesn't just mean, some of the farshim here on the page say it means beautiful maisim, beautiful deeds, maisim toivim. We learn that yofi sichoson shal avdei ovais, which some interpret to mean tefillah. Yofi is associated with many things. Koyach of tefillah, beautiful deeds, physical beauty. And here we're learning something new. Yoifi is elucidation. Elucidation. You have a pasuk, you have a chapter. What does it mean? You read the words, you translate the words. Do you really understand what you're saying, what we're reading over here? Along comes the Targum, and he elucidates it. He throws in a few words. Even Unkelis throws in an incredible chidushim. Unkelis sneaks in chidushim with a choice of word, with a future to past, from singular to plural, and some very interesting words. He adds words sometimes. rarely does he take out words, but he definitely adds in words, and all, and then we have all these different svarim that analyze what he says. He provides a very unique elucidation of Chumash. And more often than not, every time we've proven over and over again that Rashi wrote his Chibur on Unkelus. It's just a fact. Anyone who doesn't want to deny this, they're living, in my opinion, in fantasy world. Unkelus Sefer is a Sefer on Rashi's Chibur, Rashi's Perish on Chumash, is not a Perish on Chumash. It is a Perish on Unkelus. He definitely embellishes by telling you other things, no question about it. But every time Rashi says something on a pasuk, why did Rashi choose to select this particular point? You go to the Midrashim. There's literally an infinite amount of material that's available for Rashi to draw from. Why did Rashi specifically select this word? And if you look very carefully at Unkelus and really analyze, you'll notice Unkelus did not translate that word with what you would expect him to translate. There's a very small nuance in either the word he used, or the tense, or how he used it, and that was the trigger for Rashi to say, wait a minute, Unkelus, you're wrong. Either you're wrong, or you're right in concept, but your translation is wrong. We had this so many times. Rashi, generally, more or less, his starting point in commenting on the pasuk is not the pasuk. It is Unkelus' perish on the pasuk. Rashi wrote a super commentary, which means a commentary on a commentary. And that is clear as that. I told this to a very, very big Talmud Chacham not that long ago. He asked me, what do you do? I says, I don't know. I walk up down the streets. I don't do anything. This is I always say, we learn Unkelus. So he said, no, tell me something about Unkelus. So I told him a Vard, I told him, you know, the Sefer we're using, I told him Unkelus is a parish, Rashi is a parish on Unkelus. This is a very big Talmud Chacham. What? Like I thought I was crazy. And then I gave him examples. And he was really baffled that I told him this. And he didn't, you know, he wouldn't tell me that I'm right, but I definitely got him thinking. I definitely got him thinking, look carefully. Here we have an incredible mizmar that's all about Unkelus, according to our Akilos, that was Mitargim Kol HaTorah, Torah, Lefnei to the Talmid HaChamim, and they praised him. And what is the praise? Yoifi, Yoifi. So when the Targum translates the part, now what is Targum? We know there are four, there are different kinds. There's Pshat, Remesh, Drush, and Soit. Okay, anyone here want to learn Soit? Mayor Appledorf is available 3:00 in the morning. There is Soit. And then there is Remes. I don't even know who that is. And then there is Gematrius, Nutrikin, I don't know, whatever it means. Remes. And then there is Pshat. Now, what is Pshat, by the way? So I always heard of Simcha Soloveitchik, he said this 100 times. What is the literal translation of Pshat? What, you're gonna translate the word literally? There's no such thing as translating a word literally. There's no such thing. The word Pshat comes from the word V'hifshit es ha'oilo, to flay an animal. V'hifshit es ha'oilo, an animal, you slaughter it, and what do? You skin it. You strip off the layers. You take, and what do you see when you take off the layers? When you take off the skin, what's under the hood? You see the veins, the sinews, the organs, the lungs. You see all the secrets. You have an animal walking around. What makes this thing tick? How does it move around? How does it live? V'hifshit es ha'olah. You know what pshat is? Pshat doesn't mean translation. It means to uncover what's underneath the hood. What makes this pasuk operate? What's going on over here? Pshat, pshat is not, we'll learn only pshat. There's no such thing as pshat, as a simple translation. The simplest, the pshat is uncover the outer layer and see what's hidden beneath. That sounds very complicated to me. That's a very complicated limud.
Or it took only the word of the Vitam Ibnei Adam, but the next sentence, Yitzhak Chayn Siftotecha, Chayn Ze Chochmat Nista.
Oh, okay, that's how we use it. You're saying very good. Chochmat Nista, you're saying good. Today, the Yoidei Chayn. This is a colloquial expression. The Yoidei Chayn. Those who know Chayn. It's a term, I think it's a modern term. Chochmas, right, Chochmas Nister. So who made that up? This is something from 500 years. Ramban uses, okay, so we're going back 1,000 years. 1,000 years, fine, we're going back 1,000. But I don't think this is not a term that you have in the Gemara, in the Amoraim. You don't have the Goyim use this term, maybe, I don't know, but it's a colloquial expression. Yoidei Chayne means... The Gemara knew Kabbalah, they had this, the Gemara knew, it wasn't revealed, Rabbi Abba, Rav was the Zohar, some want to say. Rav was, who wrote the Zohar? It's a big mystery. It was a very big mystery. So some say that Rav was Rabbi Abba, and Rabbi Abba is. These are very big mysteries about exactly who is the one that penned the Sefer HaZohar that we have today. There are many versions of the Zohar, and a lot of it has been lost. And there are some really very. There are claims that there's been some editing, which is not necessarily correct, that with the text of the Zohar that we have today in Eichler's. Who wrote that Zohar? Who is the author of that Zohar? Not so clear who that Zohar is. The Gemara, the Amoraim, certainly had it. It was not revealed to the Tzibur, to the Hamoinam, until obviously much, much later, 1,000 years later almost. Any event, over here it says, it's a Kalmanis, and who's a Chayn? Because Rabbi Abba, because it says things in the Zohar that the author of the Zohar is Rabbi Abba, parts of it at least, and he is Rav. When the Gemara mentions Rav, who is Rav? It's the same person. So Rav was an Amoyer, Rav was Shmuel. Or I don't know, this would be up over my head, this thing, but going over here, back to our kind of thing over here, Pshat does not simply mean translation. Pshat means to uncover the depth of what is really going on. And that is called beautiful. That is called in this pasuk. What is the targum? I'm assuming the targum represents pshat. Okay, this pshat, remez, drush, soid. The targum is certainly not remez and soid, and it's not drush either. It is pshat. Isn't that what targum is? When we talk about targum, pshutoy sholmegra. It's now in cherem. The Pshuta, does anyone know anything about Pshuta Shel Mikra? It's in Cherem. It's a beautiful sefer that's been put in Cherem. You know what I'm talking about? Rashi Ki Pshuta, that's not in Cherem, even though it's the same people. But okay, there's something called Pshat. Pshuta Shel Mikra. Unkelis is Pshat. It doesn't mean it's a simple translation. It means it's an uncovering of the depth. V'hifshides Oila. And this is called Yoifi. This is called the Spitz. Yof Yofisa. Mibnei Adam. Along comes Rashi, and Rashi in Parashas Korach says, Parasha Zu Yofa Nidreshes. Today, we're going to take the Yoifi that is really ascribed to Pshat, and we're going to give the Yoifi to Drush. Rashi is not saying the word Yofa out of nowhere. The word Yoifi is a reserved word that only belongs in the realm of pshat. How do I know this? Look what it says here in this pasuk. Yof yofisa mibnei adam. Yoifi upon yoifi. A compounded yoifi. Likutei shas. Likutei shas says, Rabbi Yirmiyahu Amar b'shem Rabbi Chiya, Barba, Tirgimu, Akilos, Hager, HaTorah. And they praised him. So the word yoifi is miyuchad for pshat. Rashi says, with all due respect, Parshas Korach, the Yoifi is in Parshas Korach going to the Drash. Okay, it creates a new flavor of why Rashi used that word Yoifi in reference to Parshas Korach. Here, the Drash is gets the beauty of what is being explained. Okay, now with that, let's see the Rashi. Some beautiful Rashi over here. Quickly, we'll do some Rashis on this. On the Rashi, we have to remember that Rashi thoroughly learns this pasuk lefi his mahalich that we are describing talmidei chachamim. So Rashi is totally in. Rashi is not tolerant of any other interpretation. We're only dealing here with talmidei chachamim. We had many perushim as to who the subject of this parsh, of this mizmor is, but Rashi really goes to town. So we did. Let's go to Rashi pasuk alf al shashanim lechvoid talmidei chachamim yistu hashirazeh shem rachim. We did this Rashi before. Shem rachim kish shoshanim. They are delicate. They are moist. Like roses, v'noim, they are beautiful, kishoshanim, umartivim, they are moist, masim tovim, kishoshanim, their masim tovim are moist, like shoshanim. Maskil, aide turgumon, shir yididois, a song of love, shir ahovim, a love song, shir shel shevach lochem, a song of praise, le ahahivom, alabriois, to make them beloved mankind, ule ahahiv, toirosam alehem, and to make their Torah beloved upon them. Now that probably needs
to endear them and their Torah to the people.
Aleihem is going on the people, not on the Talmidei Chachamim.
Right.
Excellent. That's a very important point. When it says at the end of the pasuk, "Ule ahahif toirosam aleihem," Rabbi Mechol is explaining the word aleihem, the subject of the word aleihem means Klal Yisrael. By praising Talmidei Chachamim, by giving them shevach, then people pay attention. Wow, if they're deserving of such praise, you know, next time we see a Talmud Chacham, maybe we should give him some respect. And when the Talmud Chacham says something, maybe we should pay attention. It makes a very big difference. You know, Lahavdil Elif Alfi Avdolos, you know, talk about Trump. So Trump, he met with an anti-Semite, two anti-Semites. So what about all these diehard Trump fans? Oh, Trump is God. There's nothing he can possibly do that's wrong. So many people who are very big...
These are mythical creatures you're inventing.
No, they're not. I don't think they're so mythical. There are people, maybe myself included. There are people that really worship. They really... It could be they worship it because there's no one else. The contrast is so bad. They worship someone. And many people who have been very loyal to him these last 2 years have come out and have spoken out.
You don't want to get into this.
Okay, but
I wrote about this yesterday and I've written it and I keep writing about this.
Okay, excellent. But people, you know, and so I was reading something. What's the big deal? So he met. It's a big deal.
No, it's a
big deal.
It's a stupid deal
for him.
Yeah.
But people pay attention. When an anti-Semite who have millions of fans, a basketball player...
He broadcasted the guy who wanted attention. He
wrote. Right, okay. Okay. But we live in a world...
As he does in other places. And then he broadcasted it.
We live in a world where everything you do, a public figure, everything you do, you're being watched. You have influence over incredible. You don't appreciate how much influence a Schwarzer who plays knows how to throw a ball into a hoop. How many people worship him, and when you do things that are not proper, that are it has influence. It really, really does. Lahavdil elif alfei avdolos. David over here is writing a mizmor. It's going to be preserved for posterity, in order to give shevach to talmidei chachamim. It makes a difference. If you sing the praises of something, people pay attention. We don't realize how powerful it is to put something in the spotlight. Okay, so we have over here livnet maskil. So therefore, Rabbi Chol is saying very good. Toirosam aleihem, by giving praise to talmidei chachamim, they'll become beloved in the eyes of the people, and likewise their Torah, their teachings will be beloved. Next, rochashu libi. Kach hiskil hamashar b'shiroi hishritz libi b'kirbi. That's a very unusual word. Asheretz. It has hishritz. Okay, how do you want to translate that? Hishritz libi in Rashi. Pasuk beis. Rochash libi. Rochash is a creepy crawler. Rochash. Rashi over here is saying something very unique. We learned the mitzudois David. And the word rochash, he translated to mean that it moves. It moves around. So he's saying over here, Rashi is adding a word that the mitzvah is hard. My heart is emotional. My heart is emotional. Rashi is going a little bit over the top and telling you that if you want to know what the word rochash is used, is by Shiratzim. In the Torah, it says, what's the pasuk? Mayevsky, he walked out in Mamish the worst time. He walked out of here. We need him now to tell us. It says the word rochash in reference to a sheretz. We're going to call upon Tamari Appeldorf. Where in the Torah does it say the word rochash and sheretz? In Vayikra, in Bereishis, it says also in Bereishis. Okay, in the beginning of creation. Or whatever it is, but the word, I have no doubt, there's the word rochash. That's in Bereishis. But definitely it says somewhere the word, the shoresh of the word rochash in reference to a sheretz. And Rashi is emphasizing that point here when he used the word hishritz. Hishritz, libi bikirbi, it means that it's in movement, it means it's emotional. My heart, because the word rochash is trying to word association.
So he translates it as an expression of swarming and
crawling. Swarming and crawling like a sheretz. Because the word rochash is associated with a sheretz. The Mitzudos didn't want to do that. He didn't want to go bring a davar tamei. A sheretz, a davar tamei. He did not want to go bring a davar tamei into the world of the Talmidei Chachamim. Or the world of Melech HaMashiach. He learns the Melech HaMashiach. He left that idea out. Rashi was not ashamed. Rashi said the word rochash is associated with the word sheretz, and therefore when he translates the word, he translates it with that vocabulary. Everything has its own set of vocabulary. When you deal with shratzim, it was the rochash.
They multiplied, they swarmed.
Fine. Further. Hishritz libi bikirbi davar toiv. Next. Beshiv chachoat toiv. Beshiv chacho in your praise. Ato you talmid chacham. By the way, this term, Talmid Chacham, when is the first time the word Talmid Chacham is used? A student of wisdom. Is that a Mishnah? Because a student in the world today, you know, in the secular world, once you get your PhD, you're finished. You're not a student. You're a professor. So I heard this Shabbos, someone speaking. Tinoikos, the world exists.
You want a reference?
Yeah.
Talmidei Chachamim Marbim Shalom Ba'olam.
It's a Mishnah, right? It's a Mishnah. Talmidei Marbim Shalom Shnemar. I think it's a Mishnah, right? It's a Mishnah. So you see that it goes back even to the time of the Mishnayos. In the secular world, once you get your PhD, you don't call yourself a student. That's humiliating to call yourself a student. You're a professor. You're a Rebbe. You're a teacher. A person is a Talmud his entire life. I heard this week, very, really interesting, is that we have a principle that the Olam only exists due to the Hevel Piyam of the Tinoikos Shel Beis Rabban. At what age, at what point in time is the person no longer called a Tinoik Shel Beis Rabban? So this inspirational speaker said, you can be 100 years old, you can still be called a Tinoik. A Tinoik means to nurse. Lashon of Yenika, as long as a person is absorbing, has a thirst for Torah, you're a Tinoik Shel Beis Rabban. It's interesting because we say it takes the idea of a Talmid Chacham to a new level. Talmidei Chachamim Marbim Shalom Ba'olam. It doesn't say that Tinoikos Shel Beis Rabban are Marbim Shalom Ba'olam. It says Talmidei Chachamim. So we always think that a Tinoik, you know, that's it. Once the kid's already, I don't know, 6 months, that's it. A year, no more. He's done. He's no longer called a Tinoik. He's no longer nursing. He's no longer in that what we consider. Therefore, he's no longer pure, and his hevel, the hevel PM of the Tinoika Shel Beis Rabban, is a limited segment of society. No, that's not true. You can be a Tinoik Shel Beis Rabban until your last day on earth. 120 years old, if you have an appreciation of what it's of Torah, and you nurse from the Torah with a thirst as a student before his Rebbe, you're a Tinoik Shel Beis Rabban. And your hevel, the breath that comes out of your mouth, it is on this that the world continues to exist. There's no time limit. There is no cutoff point. So here the word we have Talmid Rabbi, you Talmid Chacham, you the Talmid Chacham, Rochash. What is the word Rochash? L'shoin ni nu'a, movement. V'chein koloshon sheirutz v'lichush. These two terms mean movement. Oymar Oni, next page 402. Oymar Oni ma'asai l'melech. Hashir hazeh sheyosadeti v'yosisi. This shir, this song, sheyosadeti, which I have established, that is a very interesting word in English. You would never use that word in English. This composition that I have established, you would never hear someone use that term in the English language. Go to any composer, famous composer. The composition that I have established.
Maybe this principle
is based.
I'll tell you how
no.
It translates.
Okay.
This song, which I have founded and composed.
Found. So why do they have to say the word? So he's translating the word V-O-C-C as composed, and Shiosadati I have founded. In English, you wouldn't say that.
No.
I don't believe any composer, modern composer, when talking about their compositions and their contribution to society, whatever, they wouldn't use that verb. That's because it's not sacred. It's not holy. Something Tehillim, the Shirois of David, are Yesoidois. Mm-hmm. They indeed are foundational pillars of this world.
You didn't say it's based on their past experience, based on their this. Based is the same thing as founded.
The word Shiosadati has a power, has a flavor that does not exist in the secular world. And it only can be used, this term. Rashi's words are sacred. It's a term that only can be used when you're dealing with Tehillim, dealing with David HaMelech. His compositions are not just nice songs. There are principles upon which the world exists, upon which we live our lives. Ashir hazeh sheyosadeti, v'osisi, this is an act of creation. Ani oimroi, I say it. Who do I say it to? Lemishu hagun lemelech. He's eating a lot of words in this pasuk, because this has to be dealt with. Oimer oni maasai. It's lemelech. Add a word, not just the melech. We're dealing here with talmidei chachamim. So I thought before I saw this Rashi, if you want to go say talmidei chachamim means man malkei rabbanan. Famous Chazal, who are kings? Rabbanan. We always have that expression that Talmidei Chachomim are given the status of kings. That's not what he says. He says a Talmud Chachom that is Hogun, that is fitting to sit or stand in the presence of the Melech Malchei Hamlochim. L'mishu Hogun L'melech, Shenemar, Bi Melachim Yimloichu. Through me, kings shall rule. So what does it mean in this context? I'm not really sure. What he means over here means through me, king shall rule. Okay, I'm not really sure how to work those words out. Let's go further. L'shoni tzach b'shiri, it is fluent.
The note here says that Rashi alludes to the Talmudic maxim equating scholars with kings.
Oh, so but that's not. See, I hear what you're saying, but I may politely disagree, because if that's correct, why does it say Hogun? There are a melech, according to that interpretation. You want to go read B Melachim Yimloichu, it means, like we said, that Man Malkei Rabbanan. Why then did Rashi add the word Hogun Limelech? Hogun Limelech, There's some barrier here. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know the depth of what it means.
Someone who is fit to be a king.
That's what you want to say?
That's what he says.
I see. Maybe. Okay. Maybe that has to sound. Hagun l'melach, that a Talmud Chacham is fitting to be a melech because man malkei rabban. Okay, I take it back. Okay, I hear. The Talmidei Chachamim, indeed, man malkei. I thought it meant people that are fitting to be in the presence of the melech. L'melach. He's saying, no, it's not what it means. It means they themselves are kings. Be melechem yimloichu. The pasuk, though, has to be understood. Okay, I hear. Lishoni tzach b'shiri ke'etzav emohir. My tongue is fluent. Like we said, I had a pshara v'chiri mendoisa. It just flows. Re'isi b'soidoi shel Rabbi Boisha Darshan. Ah, drush. Rashi is quoting the Darshan. Rashi quotes Menachem and Tzurok and Dunash. But Rashi also has in his pocket the Darshanim. Okay, Rashi has the Pashtonim and the Darshanim. And now he quotes the Rabbi Moshe Darshan Mohir Biloshoin Arav Baki, an expert. Okay, it's an Arabic word. Aravi is a Baki. Next, Yof Yofisa Meneodam Hoasukin. Yof Yofisa Meneodam Hoasukin Bimelechas Chaye Shah. You're more beautiful than mankind who are Oisik in Chaye Shah. Lama. There is poured chen in your lips to make decisions that are correct. Hutzak, kimoi nishpach, it means to pour. Kimoi lotzekes, to pour vayitzak, olach Hashem, and he poured upon it this week, Hashem, in this week's parasha. This week's parasha, look at that, Hashkacha brought this. Alkein, Yaakovin, we poured the oil on the rock. Alkein, berachacha, kimoi shenemar, Hashem, oiz. Liamo yitain, umas choron, Hashem yivorech es amoiv ba'shaloim. Hashem has given might, and Hashem has given them blessing of peace. Chagor charbucha al yorech, li lochem milchamta shel toira. To fight the word, the sword here is not a real sword, a sword of metal. It is a sword of your tongue. Your tongue is the sword to go fight milchamta shel toira. V'hu hoidcha, it is your splendor, v'chu hadorecha, two words which I don't know what the difference is, expressions of hoid, v'hoid, Kabbalistic concepts, Chanukah, this hoid, 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 shav, hoid, this, whatever these things mean, it means it is your beauty. Is to teach, is to know, hoid is to know, and hoidecha is to teach. Lilmoid ulalameid. The first word choytcho is to lilmoid, the hadarecha is lilamed. Beautiful. Now, we're out of time, so we're not going to out of time. I want to tell you one more verb before we conclude. Very quick verb. Tomorrow we'll do the malbum, but there's a very beautiful verb over here, and that is Chazal said there are three partners in a person: parents and Hashem. So, a person that is successful, the truth is he has nothing to be arrogant about, because everything that a person has really comes from either from his mother, father, and from Hashem. In this pasuk, so what is there for a person to take pride in? His own accomplishments. So this pasuk actually says this. It says over here is Yof Yofisa Mibnei Adam. Okay, the first thing is a person who comes into this world and he's a beautiful person. He's tall, good-looking, prince charming. He's a smart person, you know, whatever he's a beautiful person. Yof Yofisa. Don't take credit for your physical beauty, for your koichai sanefesh. You know why? Mibnei Adam. It was given to you by your parents, by human beings. Your mother and father, they're tall, they're good looking, they're wealthy, they're smart. They gave it to you. Therefore, it's not yours. Yof Yofisa, your beauty, it has come mibnei Adam. So what are you going to say? But I have a certain charisma. I have a certain charisma. I have koich adibur. Chutzak chein b'sif soisecha. I have a koicha dibra. Shouldn't I take pride in this? No, you shouldn't. You know why? Because that comes from Hashem. Vayipach ba'apov nishmas chayim, vayihi ha'adam lenefesh chaya, ratargum leruach memalua. Just because you think that you know how to speak, you know how to conduct yourself, to communicate, you're a great communicator, don't take pride in that. You know where that came from? Al kain beirachacha elokim li'olam. Hashem gave that to you. So far we've described over here the shloisha shutfim ba'adam. Person has two parents and has Hashem. Your physical beauty and your basic ability to succeed, that came from your parents. Anything extra, especially the koyach hadibur, there is chayin besif soisecha, don't take credit for that either. That is a divine gift. You're just a taker. You have nothing to be proud about. You want to take pride in your accomplishments? Chagor charbicha al yorech gibor. Get to work. Go get to work. Take up your sword and go accomplish something in this world. That will be your legacy. That will be hoidicha vahadorecha. That you can put on your matzeva. This is what you can say will be your accomplishments in life. Not your beauty, not your skill of communication. Those are part of what was meant, your mazel. Shloisha shutfim ba'adam. Your success, your legacy will only be what you go out and your moiser nefesh, what your moiser nefesh to accomplish. Okay, we'll continue this mission tomorrow. We'll take now a short break.